Oh, that was smooth, bruv. That was smooth.
And silky.
Yeah.
Like butter.
Maybe that's what our name should be. Smooth and silky.
Now, who is who?
Oh, you can be both if you want. I don't care.
It changes, alternates. Anyway, folks, welcome! Welcome back.
Oh, shit, there's people there. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize anybody was listening. Hey, guys.
Welcome back to one more episode. Just one. No. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of From a Certain Point of View, a Wooden Ball Films podcast. It's only been a minute since you last heard us on Thursday with our first little attempt at having a second show per week. Hopefully you liked it, but now we're back to the other longer form version. This is going to be a fun one. I've been working far too long this week, so I might be a little bit loopy. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because on the other microphone is Mr. Smooth and Silky himself. The man who uses butter for not just bread. Mr. Fantastic. Mr. Hey, Justin Turnbull.
Hey. What's up? Hey, what movie is this from?
Baby, I'm going to butter your bread.
I got nothing.
Oh, Super Troopers. Have you seen Super Troopers?
Not for quite a long time. I haven't even seen the second one yet.
Oh, the second one? You know what? I thought I was going to be, like, disappointed. I was so nervous. I loved the first one. The second one, I was nervous. I was nervous. Because I wanted it to be really good. And the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, my gosh.
But these?
I was like, no, I thought this has got to be a dream. At one point, I was like, this is so bad. And then at one point, I was literally like, this has to be a dream or I'm turning this movie off in like about 2 minutes. And then it was a dream. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. And it was funny. It was so good. And I love it. They totally rip on the Canadians and the Canadian stereotypes in it, because they come up and it's like this border town. They have to investigate it, like borders with Quebec, but it's actually American land. I forget the whole concept behind it, but it's really funny. So these Yanks all come up and the Canadians play on the stereotypes and they make the jokes about it too. And it was really good. It was really, really funny to be able to laugh at it. And I was like, thank goodness. Thank goodness. So you will not be disappointed.
Right now. You know what will disappoint me, though?
I could think of like probably 20 things, but which one are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of the listeners out there wondering what's happening on this episode.
Oh, yes, of course. They're still there.
They're still there.
They're still like, there. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Yes, went on a little side bit about that Super Trooper things there, eh? But don't you worry, we got your back. Yeah, eh? Eh?
Eh?
We went to the two-a-day week show. We've broken it up. So we're going to try and focus. He's like, what did you just say? Computing? So yes, this is going to be just hopefully a nice tight little episode for y'all. We're just going to do some what we're watching. We're going to discuss a main topic, film franchise revivals, because we got into a little side discussion about this during last week's episode in between. So we thought, hey, let's do this. And then we're going to, of course, send it over to Rachel, who's going to do her thing. Do her recommendations, go through what she's watching. She's always got some good stuff. I might hit her up with another trivia question. Oh, look, I have it right there. I definitely will. And then we'll wrap it up with the whiskey shot. But before we get to what we're watching, Hayden, I'm looking at your shirt and I see the word all right. All right. Oh, all right. All right. All right. What's
that? All right. What's that? Well, this is my friend. There's a story behind this shit. This is a Matthew McConaughey Just Keep Living charity shirt. Now, I love it once because, you know, I loved it once.
I wore it once and it was awesome.
It was awesome. Now, okay, so we have feedback from you guys every now and then saying that you love our stories. And this one has a story attached to the Cannes Film Festival for the first time that we went. Now, we briefly talked about how Justin and I like scrambled to buy tuxedos and like fancy casual jackets and pants and shirts and everything. We went on a shopping trip together, I think we did. This shirt came from. I'm pretty sure it was from a Sears, which, you know, RIP, no longer exists. But I saw it and I was like, oh, I've got to buy that shirt. And at the time, The Wolf of Wall Street had just come out. So there was a scene in that film where McConaughey's character does his little vocal warm-ups, which Scorsese left in the film. I thought it would be really good for the character. And those of you that have seen it, you'll know what we're talking about. Those of you that haven't, go watch it. It's a great little scene. But I didn't share this shit with anyone, to the Cannes Film Festival.
We watched it in between, guys, I swear.
In between. Inside out, back to front. Just jumped in the ocean, you know, salt water cleans everything.
Why doesn't anybody want to buy our movies? I don't get it. We're sharing the same shirt.
Why does he not have a shirt on right now?
Two for one, yeah.
So, yes, I wore this shirt as a good luck charm for our first trip to Cannes and to, like, psych ourselves up before any, like, major meeting or panel or whatever we were doing. We would do the little Wolf of Wall Street. And then just, like, it really does amp you up. And especially when you've had a few sippy sips of number five. You really get jazzed up for a night or a day of no sleep and lots of networking.
Wasn't it Label 5? I thought it was Label 5.
Well, I Chanel'd it right then. Number 5.
Chanel number 5. I forgot we did that. That's such a happy memory. I totally forgot about that. You know what? I think it was actually Leonardo. Like Scorsese kept it in. I think Leo was the one who told him to do it for, like, to add it to the whole character thing. Because I remember reading about it. It's so cool when you learn about little things like that in movies. Actually, I'm going to post that on our socials because it's kind of a neat story. Because it's like such an iconic moment in the film. Like, people know that when you start doing that. Even this little... Yeah. I love it. Yeah. But specifically when he starts thumping his chest... Like, oh, what a great character choice. And it's like, no, that's actually just what he does for vocal warm-ups. And they expanded on it. They added to it, which is so, so cool. It's one of the best parts about, you know, acting and filmmaking is when you come up with those little things or find those little things that are just like have such a impactful effect on the film. So cool.
Yeah, I always find that they kind of embed more realism into a character because you can be like, oh, he does that in real life, and then it just makes them more.
All right. Russ is like, oh my gosh, you guys have been talking about him for like 12 minutes. Like, I literally only have one sock on. Can you stop talking about him?
I was like, does he? I wouldn't even be able to keep track of time. How long has it been? That's a time machine for some people.
Why is that sock not on your foot?
I got stuck in my shoe. I don't know. That sounds like a Blink-182 song.
Why is that sock not on my foot? Yeah. Totally. Oh, wow. Anyways, that was fun. I like that story. Did you just do you remember that every time you put that shirt on? Like, do you think of that, or is it just, did it just come to you? Is it like every time you see that shirt, like that's where it brings you?
That is the that's the word association with this shirt.
That's so cool.
I do. I have this and another shirt that I have similar sort of thing with. It's not quite as cool as this one, but I've got a Legendary Pictures t-shirt that I actually got from the president of Legendary Pictures, I think, with during the American Pavilion program that I did, folks. We, one of the many meetings that we got, we actually got to sit in on a boardroom like table of Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures and a whole bunch of other things. But they were like, hey, we've got all these t-shirts for you guys if you want them. I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
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 So it's not quite, it's cool memory, but this one is a better memory. It's like, so many memory.
so many memory. So I know it's been a short week. We haven't had much time, but since we recorded last, but did you get to any of your viewing that you wanted to?
I did get a little bit of viewing done.
And, oh, you did? I know you've been busy working like mad crazy.
Yeah. But I did get some watch-a-watchings in.
What was that? No.
Some watch-a-watchings. Dial it down a little bit. All right.
Sorry. Eminem Hayden. We were talking about Eminem in the pre-show. Hayden's a little fired up.
Fired. Which wasn't me. I didn't get fired, so it's all good.
His little hip hop came out.
Actually remembered some shows that I didn't mention on the last episode. I thought to myself, I was like, oh, maybe I should have like spread it out a little bit. only talked about a couple of them. But The Crew, which I mentioned ages ago about starting, that you then started and finished, I finally finished that show like last week. So I was like, hey, I find it's only like 7 episodes or whatever it is.
It's so short.
Yeah. And Alex, I remember when she finished it, she's like, it made me cry. And I was like, oh, do I really want to watch the end of it then? I thought I might get like too serious like The Ranch did. So I watched it and I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty sad. Season 2, come on, where are we?
Yeah.
But such good laughs, like Kevin James is so good. Actually, they're all really good. And so I go through that. So I was quite happy to be able to finish that. We started watching Phil of the Future, which I'd never seen before, but it's an old Disney Channel show. It's one of the ones that Alex grew up on.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it last episode briefly. That Alex was watching it anyways.
She was watching it. So I sat down and got into it and I was like, man, why is it only 2 seasons? Because the storytelling is fun, but I always like what they do with Disney shows where they kind of, I'm a romantic at heart, folks. Would you believe it? And so I enjoy watching. You believe it?
I believe in
love.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. But I'm going to let Hayden finish his story.
Thank you.
Because it's so much cooler.
It's not really that much cooler. I'm talking about teenage love. sounds like another Blink-182 song.
Yeah. Hashtag Blink-182 this episode. My goodness.
I'm talking about teenage love. No. I love how Disney writes their romantic arcs. I don't know. I guess I'm just a sucker for that kind of thing. And then I'm like, oh, there's only 2 seasons, but like, they're like in love. I want to see where this goes. I don't know why I'm talking so high. It's quite fun. I'm sad that it's only 2 seasons because it's coming to an end. But they do that with a lot of their shows. But even Stevens, that was like a 4-season one, I think, and there's still a movie there. So I've got another little bit of like teenage Shia LaBeouf to catch up on.
I was just gonna say, did you just say even Stevens? You did.
I did.
Shia LaBeouf. Man, he's awesome. I don't know what's going on with him, but boy, do I like his work.
I think he's going through like his Joaquin Phoenix phase where he just kind of went a little bit odd.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the comparisons. Joaquin Phoenix did that documentary. I don't know if you ever watched it. It is so worth a watch. It is insane. I remember when it came out, I was like, what is going on? What is happening? I cannot believe he did this movie. And then like his stuff on Letterman and all that stuff. And then it was like, haha, I got you all. That was just a little joke.
I was acting.
Yeah. Got me. Jeez.
Yeah. So there was that. I'm still watching Apache, the Carlos Tevez story. I'm almost done with that. It's kind of insane how... I mean, again, I know that it's a fictionalized retelling of his upbringing, but I'm just like, it's insane. Like, there's gang wars and just the level of violence and the drugs. And he's like, his best buddy got in, like, so they both trial for like pro teams, like the youth programs of pro teams. They go to the same one and Carlos doesn't get picked. He doesn't make the squad, but his buddy does. So it's like, oh, his buddy's like, he leaves their first club and he goes up to this pro club. And then Carlos gets picked for Boca Juniors, which is like a bigger, better club. So then they're both, and then they meet each other, but the buddy is like getting involved with drugs and his older brother is involved with like gangsters and stuff. And it's like, I hope that he gets through it, but I'm like, I don't see how he is. And it's going to be really sad. And it's like, is Carlos going to be the only one that gets out of the, like the slums and succeeds? It's like, it could be like a story of two kids from nothing becoming something, but I think it might only be one. So I've only got one episode left of that left. To find out. So that's really like, even though you know ultimately what happens with the character, because he's not a character, he's a real person, so it's still interesting to see that. It's good. I enjoyed it. And I think someone out there correct me, because I know I'm going to get this wrong, but what language do Argentinians speak? Do they speak Spanish or do they speak?
I thought it was Spanish. Oh, that's a good question. Because I know Brazilians speak Portuguese.
Yeah, but it's Brazilian Portuguese, so it's slightly different.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's the same thing, if it's like an Argentinian version of Spanish. Because I'm like, I don't understand some of these words, but I know them in Spanish. And that doesn't sound like the same word.
Which European country colonized Argentina? That's the question. Really? Because that's what language they would, or variation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spanish. They speak it. But then again, it's also like the subtitles are obviously not going to be exactly what they've said. It's going to be, you know, either simplified or... They might say this really long thing, but if you said it phonetically, it wouldn't make sense. So we're going to do it this way. So, because every time they say, like, it comes up as soccer, which is, I hate that. Because I'm like, this is, yeah, that's for an American audience right there.
Yeah.
But they're not going to say soccer. They're going to say football.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even ever hear them say that. Whenever I see like soccer in the subtitle there, I'm like, I'm trying to listen for the word, but I'm not hearing it. That's why I'm like, oh, maybe they do a different type of Spanish, or it's a different word that I'm not even hearing. So anyway, that's my my mini rant on subtitles.
You have one more episode to figure it out.
Yeah.
You're just going to be watching so intently. But you didn't say it.
Oh. So because of that, because I was on a, I'm on a bit of a football, a soccer kick. Ha ha, pun intended, accidentally. I watched a bunch of like video clips on YouTube of like Zidane and whatnot. So my brother has
Oh yeah, Zidane. He's awesome.
Is it him? You can't know it. Zinedine Zidane or Zizou. He is a French Algerian ex professional footballer. He's now the manager of Real Madrid, and he's one of the greatest players you'll ever see play the game. But my brother had a film of his back in the day that I never got to watch because I was short of attention span when I was younger, to say the least. But what it is, it's a 90-minute film, so it's the length of the match, and it's all cameras are only on Zidane from all different angles. So you don't see the rest of the game. You see one player for 90 minutes. And my brother used to watch it as like a study device because it's like you watch it as like tape, right? But I never got to watch it. So I was like trying to track it down. I'm like, it's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon Prime. Maybe there's parts of it on YouTube that I can catch. So I was like searching through, trying to find and watch all these videos. I didn't find it, but I watched some other cool things.
Got yourself in a little YouTube hole, did you?
Yeah, but then I did watch something that was on Amazon that I started. It's called Campo de Astrales. And it's a series. There's two seasons, I think, and it follows a player each episode of Real Madrid. So, So I started that. I was like, nice. And that was
it. I like those sports ones that do that. I used to because I haven't seen a new one in a while, but All or Nothing would do that. And every year they would take a team from the NFL, an American football team, and they would follow them throughout the season. And the coaches and certain players and all that. And it's so interesting because you get so used to watching sports for the 90 minutes of game time or hour of game time. And it's really interesting to get a glimpse into what it's actually like to be, I mean, as much as one can from watching a reality show of the life of an athlete and a team and being part of a team or being a coach. And I always really enjoy those sport ones. I actually watched one on the All Blacks. So we watched that one as well. They do some cool ones. All or Nothing. They do a bunch of European football teams too. They have some. I don't know about a bunch actually, but I know they definitely have a few. Prime.
Do you want to know one? Nice. I'll check that out. You want to know what I figured out? Well, I already knew this because I'm an Australian. But the best way to offend a New Zealander.
Oh boy, is it something I said? What'd I say?
No, you didn't say anything, but you mentioned the All Blacks. So there's this New Zealand fella that comes into the store. And when he first came in, I was kind of like, he's using like Australian colloquialisms, like words and stuff that I would use. And I was like, ooh, I can't tell if you're an Aussie or if you're a New Zealander, because he didn't have that like really thick, you know, fush and chops, eh? Oh, bro, I'm from New Zealand, eh? So I was like, oh, I can't really tell. And he was not like Maori or Pacific Islander New Zealand, so even more difficult. But when I figured it out and we were talking about the rugby, I was like, oh, yeah, New Zealand aren't that good at rugby. Australia always beats. And he was like, whoa, what? Are you kidding me? And it's like some older dude. He was like late 50s, early 60s. And I was like, hey, 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 hey.
The wombats are better. Is it the wombats?
No.
Is that the Australian?
The wallabies. Close.
My apologies.
Hey, at least you got, it was an Australian animal. You got that part, right?
What's your national hockey team? Team can, yeah, I can't, yeah. That was a fail. That joke was going to fall
team
flat.
Quebec.
So I'm just going to abort.
Just abort.
Quebec Nordiques.
Nordiques. So yeah, I was just like, oh, All Blacks. Yeah, that's a good way to make a New Zealander annoyed at you.
I work a lot. There's this company and they hire the guys from New Zealand, and he hires like only New Zealand people. As told you, the guy had to throw off the roof to defend your honor.
No good.
And Chris, who I work with a lot, my buddy Chris, he has a hard time. And so he calls them Australian. And that drives him crazy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So call them Australian and
say
make
the
fun of their rugby
terrible.
Playing. Yeah. That's it, hey? That's a good week for you, man.
Yeah. Like, considering the turnaround was like 3 or 4 days, I did watch something.
Yeah. I was impressed. That was more than other weeks when you have a week.
I know.
But also you've been writing stuff down.
Yeah.
You're getting it all in, man. You know what? I was surprised too because I watched some stuff too.
Oh, really? What did you watch, Mr. Fantastic? Or is it silky and smooth?
Ooh. No. No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
You're silky smooth.
I'm silky.
You're silky smooth.
You're smooth. Together we are.
Silky smooth. And smooth. I watched, you know, we watched... rewatched Avatar.
Oh.
And I got to tell you, man, holy crap. It holds up. It holds up graphic-wise, everything-wise. It's just so good. And watching it on TVs nowadays, like, man. I was honestly blown away, and it just got me so excited for the next ones that are coming out. And even so much so that we went back and we watched a bunch of the behind the scenes, the making of, because of the technology they used. And it was new at the time. But yeah, man, like it was so, so, so good. And there's this funny moment because we were watching it as a family. And, you know, anyways, so it gets to one part in the film. And things are about to get hot and heavy between Jack Sully and the other person.
when he's actually the whatever they are, the Navi?
When he's one of the Navi. And they just had this moment under the Tree of Souls.
I remember that scene.
He's like, oh, as he's taking off his shirt. And so we're watching it, and then all of a sudden, you know, things. And so I paused it, and the kids are like, huh? What's going on? And I was like to Kate, I can't quite remember what exactly happens next. And the kids are like, why? What was it? It's like, well, you know what? You guys might have some questions after this. Do you remember when? And anyways, so it was like that moment of played it. It was a bad, it was, you know, they kissed and it was indicated to people who know, would have known. It was a clear indication. To children, it was just like, you know, some kissing. What they see mom and dad do anyways.
Yeah. And they're blue aliens, so they're like,
Yeah. So anyways, it was one of those moments where it was like, okay, well, I wonder which way this is going to go. But visually, I just, again, it was awesome. Can't believe how much it still holds up to this day.
Now, here's a thought, right? Right. Get this right.
All right, in it. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Avatar came out in what, 2009?
Right.
Right. And it looked that good then.
Right.
Now, you know how Mr. James Cameron, right? He's quite good with his technology, right?
Right, like revolutionary, right? In it.
So what the heck is it going to look like with his next ones?
Dude, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for it. Seriously, I am so stinking excited for it. Kate's so excited for it. The family's excited for it. I didn't realize how excited I would be for it, because it's come up a couple times on the show and you've brought it up in trade talk. And it's like, oh yeah, cool, cool. And like, you know, like I want to watch it. And I thought I wanted to watch it. But then after rewatching the first one, man, you go back and rewatch. I don't know when the last time you've seen it is, but it's like.
I have an awesome story about how I first saw Avatar.
Okay, let's do it. Oh, okay. My goodness. When's the last time we did story time with Hayden Woodhead? Pull up the chair, folks. That's like episode 4 or 5 was the last time. My goodness.
The young fellas think they can tell stories now. My kind of night. So, when Avatar came out, it was like when 3D cinema kind of re-entered into the consciousness of the viewer. And it was all a big hoo-ha, and it was like, you must see this film on IMAX screen, big screen, comfy seats, awesome sound, 3D glasses, like the whole shebang. Which I think is why it was, even though it's like a very simple story, that was the main draw card of why it made like $2 billion or whatever the heck it made.
Oh, they sold it.
Because it was innovating job. And they did it right. Mm-hmm. Because they did it from the start. They didn't try to do it after the fact like some other films did later on. Anyway, so they're like, you've got to see this film on the big screen with the best sound in the best theaters. And I'm going to dob myself in here. When I was at film school, I didn't have access to the cinemas. I didn't have money for it. Couldn't rent DVDs. Streaming wasn't really a thing. So what do? You go onto the internet and you find files of films and you watch them that way.
And by that, he means illegally pirated films, people. Just kidding. You didn't do that. The government, if you're listening.
Now, what I used to do was that I would do that and watch it. If I liked it, I would go buy the DVD and then I'd delete the file. If I didn't like it, I'd delete it anyway. So in my mind, I was ethically sound. But the first time I saw Avatar was a bootleg of the movie on a 15-inch laptop screen. So it was like, it's like grainy and like pixelated. And I'm like, if it's far enough away from me, it looks smooth. So I don't think I've ever seen it since. I don't think I've seen it on.
Oh.
Like in the quality that I need to see it.
Bruv. Do you got a 4K TV at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, watch it. Like, I'm serious. Just like right now, goodbye, good night, thank you. You have to watch it.
I'll be back on Thursday.
I know he will. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, especially before the second one's come out, you should rewatch it. It is, I mean, visually it's good, but it's also a great story. And like you say, it's simple, but
it's done well.
It's James Cameron. There's a reason it's the highest grossing film of all time. Let's just put it that way.
Now, can I have a moment to bold predict something?
The only thing I love more than a bold prediction
is a bold depriction. I don't know.
is what you're about to say next.
What am I about to say next? No, what I just had like a brain like, what if they do this? So with all of the new technology that they're using, like on The Mandalorian and Ready Player One, where they're using like game engines to world build to create their shots, I was like, you watch, James Cameron is probably shooting his film VR. So that audience goers can put on a VR headset or an Oculus headset.
No.
Be there'll be a sense of a wall there, but it's going to look like you're literally. Now, I don't know if that would work because, you know, you've got cuts and stuff, but I thought it's going to look so realistic that you're not even going to know that there's a screen there, right? So I was like, what's the bet that he's toying around with either augmented reality or virtual reality to create that world just to throw it out everywhere?
You know, man, you just like blew my mind. Because I started thinking about, and then where does it go? And then where does it go? And then where does it go? And then at what point do you just plug in somewhere? And you're just like, okay, doo-doop. Now you're
uploaded to the Matrix.
Yeah. I need to go to bed.
Dream this up. I mean, that's the whole point, right? He's delayed these films so long because he's like, I've got to get the technology right before I can shoot it.
And that's like, why he was insane. That's even why I think he was supposed to go into Avatar. It was either right after the Titanic or right before Titanic. It was one of the two. Because I just watched all, like literally, because we watched this and I went and watched the behind the scenes on it. And it was supposed to be right before or right after that. But he said, no, like I can't. I need to, the technology isn't there yet. And kudos to him. Being able to hold off on something. And then again, like another however many years, like holding off and just waiting. Being like, no, like I want to push the boundaries. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I know this isn't it.
That's like George that's really Lucas cool. When he was doing like Star Wars, he's like, it's not, the technology's not there. So let's make it.
Let's and just like, do I, it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the pod racing scene from Phantom Menace was something that he wanted in A New Hope. So like in the '70s, he couldn't do it. So he's like, you know what? The technology's not there.
Yeah.
It will be though. It will be.
That's neat. I didn't know that.
A lot of that stuff is like, thanks to George Lucas, the way that they film now.
Oh yeah, I know. ILM and
Cameron obviously
like
as
huge.
Well. Those guys, they probably have Innovation Academy Awards or whatever, you know, because it's like an award for when there's something in the industry that is a technological innovation, you can get an Academy Award for that too. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just somehow been involved in that. Yeah, yeah.
They just don't show them on TV, people.
No,
so that was one of the ones we watched. That was good. And then we watched Yesterday.
Yeah.
It was fun.
You enjoy it?
You know what? It was good family fun, yeah. Man. Like it was good for that. There's some things that, and I know it's a movie. It's a movie. Like I watch more ridiculous things in movies than what happened in here. But for some reason, and I don't know if it's because I'm a parent, but when I see some parenting things, like when they come home and the house is just full of bubbles and it's just like, meh, I'm like, hell no. Like, I don't know what I do. I open the door and like what was going on there when they had the ultimate nerd party. If I walked into that, I'd be like, first of all, I'd be like, yo, you best know you'd be lucky that this is me coming home and not your mama. Like she can never know about this. But no, it's such a silly thing, but I thought it was a lot of fun. I really like movies like that. I really, you know, they always try and have like some sort of fun little message in them or whatever about family. And I just like them because they're light. And so often, you know, we're watching things, especially nowadays, man, like it seems like dark sells nowadays, you know? And so when you get to watch a movie like that, it's just nice. And that's sort of how I felt about it. That's good. And then what did I do?
You watched The Dark.
No, it's not too bad. It was a crime documentary though, but it was about the college admission scandals in the States. Now, of course,
the recent one.
Yeah, so most people know it because of Felicity Huffman and Sarah Loughlin. Is it Sarah? Anyways, because they're the celebrities, but this obviously affected like something like over 50 families. And so don't worry, Hidden. You can watch it. Nobody dies. Just rich people trying to abuse the system and a slimy capitalist. So, you know, nothing we haven't seen before. But it really is like watching it, like it's amazing, man. Like the lengths these families will go to just so their kid can be at a, and I air quote this, people, prestigious college. You know, there, and they even say in the movie, like there's so many like good colleges out there, universities, whatever, that you can get really good educations from. But it's just like, it's like hyped up and it's become this like super competitive, crazy thing in the States specifically. And these families will just pay copious amounts of money to get their kids who are completely undeserving of even being in these schools in the first place and taking the spots of people who actually deserve it. And you're just like, and the worst part is that the colleges let it happen. Like this is, they know it's happening. It's happening. And it's just like, but the more exclusive they can be, then the more, the higher rating they get on this like level. And it's, you're just, you know, you shake your head. Really, people? Come on. Like, so
that's status, isn't it?
It's status. It's such crap. It's anyways. So there is that. And the last one we wanted to watch, or I wanted to get to, I want to save for last, because am I excited about this? I messaged you and I try to be like super subtle. I was like, yo, dude, you should check out The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Holy crap, man. It was so good. And especially just coming after WandaVision, because WandaVision, I was like, and now seeing this WandaVision, I'm like, forget about it. Don't waste your time. If you haven't finished it, don't finish WandaVision. Watch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Oh, they just, they got into so much stuff and they started getting into, I mean, it starts off and it just starts off like, boom, action. And you're into it and you're like, okay, like you're in this huge action sequence. And they start getting to the story and they really start getting into the backstory of Bucky. And I don't want to say any more, but I hope you start watching this because I really want to discuss it with you on the show, but I don't want to say anything beforehand. But I'm excited about it. And Kate too. And Kate is like not a Marvel person. She doesn't care. And we watched it Saturday because we recorded Friday. So we watched it Saturday. Sunday, she's like, can we watch the Falcon and the Winter Soldier? I was like, no, it's, babe, like it only comes out Friday. It's just once a week, like Mandalorian, WandaVision. She's like, oh yeah, okay. Monday, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go, you know, say goodnight to the kids or whatever's going to do. I was like, do you want to pick something? She's like, oh, you want to watch The Falcon and the Winter Soldier? I was like, babe, like it's only Friday. She's like, oh, but it's so good. So like, even she's like excited about it. And enough said. Just nice. It's worth it.
I want to say one thing. I haven't watched it yet. It is on my watch list. And I'm stubborn when it comes to like, I don't know if it's got any relation to WandaVision at all. So I'm like, oh, I have to finish that before I watch this. If it doesn't, that's good. I can start it. But folks, if you stick around, well, obviously, because you love us so much, Thursday's Trade Talk episode is going to have a little bit of something on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That's all I've got to say about it. And actually, I might have watched it during that time frame, but you won't know because the episode's pre-recorded. But, you know, time is a funny thing.
Time isn't real.
I've got much time left. much time.
You ain't got much time left. Yeah.
So no, no, I've got much time.
Hey, I'm talking here. I'm walking here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you tell me what film that's from?
Yes, I can, but I just don't have time to right now.
I think you actually got it.
Yeah, I do know. I will give it to you by the end of the episode, but I won't cheat.
Okay.
And if I can't think of it, something cowboy. Okay, Midnight Cowboy? Is that it?
You didn't even need 10 seconds.
I just needed to like focus. I don't focus when I talk. I just sort of like as things come through my brain, they come out of my mouth. It's a real problem. But yeah, people, you know, if you thought Marvel was going anywhere, think again. It ain't happening. No freaking way.
Right. That's it. You got some good things. Some good things.
Yeah, but you know what? Weekend. I do want to point out nothing that I said I was going to watch in the whiskey shot last week.
Yeah, but they're not absolutes. That's what I'm saying.
They're whiskey shots. They're the furthest thing from absolute.
It's a thing saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And in the morning, I'll regret and forget everything. If I was actually drinking whiskey. Well, Coolio, that's some good stuff and some good feedback on some programs that I'm interested in watching. And I'm glad you got to Yesterday. I thought it was a fun little film and I knew that you would enjoy it with the family. Sounds like you did. And next week is going to be more time. I'm going to watch more things and I'm going to keep this pen handy. There's the camera. I'm like, where's my camera? Am I camera A or am I camera A?
And I still find your light. I think that's something they say on film sets. I think. I'm not sure.
I don't know what that was.
But I don't either.
That was a little something on my shoulder saying, yo, you guys, it's time for the main discussion.
Yeah, that was the segue. That was our segue.
Now, we say it's the main discussion, but it's probably going to be shorter than the what you're watching that we just talked about. But it's going to be a little bit more streamlined, I think.
We should come up with a new name than main discussion.
Yeah. It's going to be the topic. Whatever it is.
So it's exciting. It's the topic this week.
Now, we're going to move on, folks, to something that we talked about. I thought it was on the last episode, but it might have been on either the 50 minutes of pre-show that we did or if it was during the break of Rachel's review. I can't remember. Or maybe it was a part that I cut out that you'll never hear because it's lost in the ether.
But we do want to say, if it was in last week's episode for some reason, we apologize.
Yeah. We lived it. We don't have to re-listen to it. Or do we? I don't know. But we're going to be discussing franchises that corrected themselves mid-franchise to become quite successful. So we decided that we'd kick it off with the Fast and the Furious franchise. Or do you have more that you want to add to it?
I do have one more that I want to bring up, but I mean, let's start with Fast and the Furious. Because this is, for me, it was Fast and the Furious came out and loved it. I think I was in middle school at the time when it came out. I can't remember exactly, maybe first year of high school, sometime around then. Came out, saw it in theaters with the boys, and just really liked it. And then the second one came out and it was like, oh, Vin Diesel's not in this one. You know, it's a little bit different, but, you know, still Paul Walker. So still some familiarity. Watched it. It was good. Liked it. Didn't like it as much as the first one. And then the third one came out and it had nobody in it anymore. And it was like kerplunk. I didn't even watch the third one, Hayden. I still to this day, I have not watched the third one because it was like one, Great. Loved it. Two. Okay. Good. Three. Not wasting my time. Well, holy crap, did they turn that franchise around. Like four or five, and they just started introducing all these characters, and now it's like, and it's crazy how far they've gone, because they start as like, you know, like sort of street thugs who like to drive fast cars and rip off semi-trucks. And now they're like full-blown like mercenaries. Like they can do the craziest things. They know how to handle all these weapons. And it's just fun though. It works. For some reason it works. I don't know why, but they completely saved themselves.
I'm going to differ with you on this one a little bit. Now, I do understand the same viewpoint, but the third one, I actually really enjoy it. Now, what I saw them doing initially was, yeah, you've got the first one where you've got the crew and it's like, it's a car culture film, which hadn't really been done since like the 70s where you had like American Graffiti is a car culture film, right? It's about the cruising and all of that. So they brought it back and they added in a little bit of, you know, excitement, but it had that, you know, family message in it. It was a good little first film. I really enjoyed it. And then the second one, you're like, okay, yeah, no Vin Diesel. Script maybe not as complete as the first film. But yeah, Paul Walker's still in it. And oh my gosh, what's his name? Tyrese,
yeah.
That had a really good dynamic, especially the way that it starts off. And you're like, oh, what's going on here? Because they're friends. Oh, wait, they're like punching on. What the hell is going on? Anyway, that was fun. And it had a really good ending. And it has Eva Mendes in it. That was always good. And that was the one that introduced Ludacris' character to the franchise, was from that film. So,
was Luda in that one? I don't remember that. Yeah, I do. Because he's down by the boat or by the water.
Yeah.
He's down by the water. Yeah.
So he goes from being a garage dude to being some, like tech savvy, like awesome dude in the most recent one. So those two. And then you get the third one. Now, you said you haven't watched the whole way through. Vin Diesel is in the third one.
Oh, is he at the very end or something?
He's at the very, very end, which they then throw into, I can't remember if it was 7 or 8 when they're back in Tokyo.
Yeah.
But and Han character's in it as well. But when that film came out, I was like, okay, so what they're doing is they're just kind of using the name now, and they're going to just do a bunch of like individual films that are based around the concept of Fast and Furious. But the reason why I liked it was there's a TV, like an old anime called Initial D, which I've only ever seen like a handful of shows, but it's about drifting. And that whole DK race down the mountainside is literally like what Initial D is about. They just race these cars down the side of a mountain in Japan and drift. So I liked the fact that they went from like street racing, and then they were like, oh, how are we going to like change this up? Well, I don't know. We'll use different cars and we'll change the racing, which I liked. But again, you could tell that it was they're running out of ideas. But I still think it's a decent film.
I do want to go back and see it, like, because I do like the whole franchise and it feels weird not having one. But I think I didn't think the film was good or I turned it off. I think I was just felt like the franchise was moving in a direction I was no longer interested in.
Yeah.
Because I did like Paul and Tyrese's, their chemistry. They do have good chemistry and it is fun. But I just couldn't help but feel like, I know that's just like Vin Diesel's character needs to be in this, you know? It was almost like coming from that point of view. But man, holy cow, did not like when those movies started coming out, drifting got huge, like revived that, and so many people, like the skylines, and like people were getting like right-hand drive vehicles and stuff. Like, it was just like everybody just wanted one of those like modded up cars, you know? Like, that just became like culturally, it literally created a cultural shift in those first like three movies. And then after that, it just became like big blockbuster films. But like the impact those first three movies had on culture was huge. Specifically the first two. Because I haven't seen the third. So I don't know.
I have another story time. It's a very, very short one, but because you said Skyline. And yeah, when those films were coming out, like the first one was 2001. It was funny. Actually, it's going to be a two-part story real quickly. I was the school photographer for the Sydney Auto Show. So they were like, what do you watch on the bus ride up from Canberra to Sydney? Which is like three Fast and Furious on it, which is hilarious because, you know, when you're in school, they're like very specific on what they can show. And they threw on Fast and the Furious, which has got drive-by shootings. There's, you know, illegal street racing. There's all kinds of violence and all kinds of like bad stuff. And they're like, yeah, let's throw it on a bus full of 13, 14-year-old kids. Yay!
Family message though, remember?
Yeah.
And you're the one who tells everybody, let your kids watch R-rated stuff. It's okay.
Yeah, but that's if you're in the family. This is like a bunch of kids.
This is other people's kids. Yeah, no.
You mentioned Skyline. Like, everybody loved that. I can't remember. Like, when Paul Walker shows up with the blue Skyline in the second one, I think, he gets the call up and the blow-off valves and the... you know. Anyway.
Just like that.
Just like that. And you got to see the hand effects I'm doing here, folks. Woo! When we were back in Australia, this is the difference in generations here, right? My youngest stepbrother, he's going to be 20 this year, I think.
Oh, he's a pup. Holy cow.
Maybe he's 21. Anyway, he was like 18, 19 when we were back in Australia. And we were driving to the airport and it was dusk. And he's like, oh, look at that purple Skyline. Straight away, I knew he was talking about a car. So I was looking for it on the road. But my stepmom, his mom, was like, oh, yeah, that's because of the whatever in the air, like the pollution in the air or whatever around the city. Oh, yeah. And he's like, what? What are you talking about, mom? And I was like,
how could that change the car's color?
And I'm like, Jules, he's talking about a car. And she's like, she just cracks up laughing. She's like, oh, like expletives all over the place. That's awesome. I was like, that's funny. I hear the word Skyline, I think of a car. She hears the word Skyline, she thinks of an actual Skyline. And those listeners are probably thinking the same thing. But yeah, it went from those car culture films and then they kind of tried to expand it again. And then, you know what I thought was funny as well? The actual like shift in changing of the film franchise to more success from 3 to 4, when they brought all the original cast back and they kind of, they shifted away from the street racing and they went to more like heist films.
Mm-hmm.
Same director, Justin Lin. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you're the director that killed, in air quotes, the franchise, but we're going to give you, I think he did 4, he did 5, and he did 6. He didn't do 7, and then he came back for 8, and I think he's on for like 9 and 10 as well.
Wow, something. He's done most of them, hey?
He's done most of them since. I'm going to pull it up real quick because I have it up here, I think. But I thought, how odd is that?
I auditioned for him once for the Star Trek. This new Star Trek film when it filmed in Vancouver.
So he did Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious, Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6. Then they went to James Wan for 7. Then they did F. Gary Gray for The Fate of the Furious, which was the last one that just came out. And the nine, which is waiting to be released, is Justin Lin again. And he's also on for 10 and 11 if they do those. So I'm like, dude's done, what's that, six of the 11 films?
So he's been involved.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, I mean, that would be really cool as a director to go from, oh, man, I had the worst performing film of the franchise to then resurrecting it and, like, taking it to the next level. Like, I'm going to bring in The Rock and he's going to make this film elevated, which it did. It was, like, crazy. Yeah. And then it just went up from there. Bang, 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 bang. So
bringing The Rock in does not hurt you.
Yeah, and then how do you top that? You bring in Jason Statham.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with that? You give him a spin-off.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to be its own franchise with multiple films.
Yeah, it's interesting because you hear all these things about The Rock and Vin Diesel not exactly being chummy on set. Like no, two alpha dogs, like the OG alpha and then like, yo, this franchise has been resurrected, Alpha. Like, I'm Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What's up?
What's up? But see, then this is where I think it was interesting because he wasn't in one of them. Or maybe he's not in F9. Like, or is he? I don't know. He left the franchise. So it's like, here, I'm going to resurrect it. And then I'm going to step away. And it was still just as successful even when he wasn't there.
Well, he's got the Hobbs
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw. It's like Hogs.
Now, if they're going to franchise that, they got to hurry up because both Statham and The Rock are mid-40s. So I know they're in phenomenal shape, but...
Bunch of old guys. Just a bunch of old guys.
I could take them on. I got my walker here. It's quite fast and furious when it needs to be.
Oh, it's so fast and so furious. Oh, my goodness. What kind of bearings are those on that wheels?
Ball bearings.
What are you talking about, okay?
They're spinning. Watch them spin.
Cool. So that's like Fast and Furious is one resurrected franchise. Do you have more? Because I have one, which most there is, people I might be surprised by.
Oh. This one I did want to bring up. I can't remember if I mentioned that I watched it not that long ago. I feel like I may have forgotten to just bring it up, but maybe I did, and we've just done so many of these I can't remember. But Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Okay, like holy cow. And they used the, you know, innovations that came from Avatar with the whole motion capture and the camera recording the face, but then, you know, put on this CGI sort of character. And I like the trilogy. I like the whole trilogy, but the first time I watched it, it sort of wrapped everything up for me in that franchise. And I don't know, like the original trilogy, you know, I've seen them and I'm sorry people, but okay. Like they're okay, but just the technology in film nowadays, man, like, give me a break. It's so much better. You can't even compare. But when that came out and they used that technology and sort of prequeled all the other stuff, it was like next level crap, man. Like, it was like so good. And then, so I recently rewatched it. And then when this topic came up, I thought, you know, this is one of those franchises for me that I was sort of meh, whatever about, like, oh, cool. Like they, you know, they had their heights. But when this franchise came out or when this new trilogy came out, Man, it changed the game. It was so good.
See, I haven't seen any of those ones.
Oh my goodness, dude. Oh my
goodness. Only Planet of the Apes film that I've seen is Tim Burton's one with Marky Mark.
Oh, the worst one ever made. Ever. Ever.
See, I kind of got it, but I can't remember how old I was, but I was like, okay, not bad. Because I was like, Tim Burton is like one of my favorite directors. So.
Tim Burton's, he's awesome. But man, if you like that, like I'm telling you, John Lithgow, James Franco, James Lithgow is the father of James Franco in the film. And he gets Alzheimer's. And so he starts trying to develop this cure for Alzheimer's, and they're testing it in apes, and they get really close, and then there's this side effect, and then, you know, some stuff happens, and James Franco character, there ends up being a baby born from one of the apes that had been, you know, injected with this serum or whatever to try and cure Alzheimer's. And then he takes it home and it grows up, and the intelligence, like it's able to learn, and it's so good. Like the relationship between him and the ape, it's almost like a father kid thing. And then him and his father, who's got Alzheimer's, and he's trying his hardest to keep it at bay, and it works, you know, for a bit. And it's just like, man, it's like, it's such a good film. And then you throw in this technology, and then you throw in the fact that it's like a prequel to, it's a prequel trilogy to where those films ultimately end up. Like, it's just like, it's got everything. It's so good, and it's one that I don't think of often, but it's so worth checking it out. I'm telling you.
I get there eventually, because it's got Andy Serkis plays like Caesar, isn't it? He's the guy who's getting motion captured. Gollum himself.
Yes, yeah.
Now,
And it gets into the other... The two, and it's filmed in Vancouver.
There you go.
Represent. But the other ones, it shows the whole evolution of how these apes came to be and their intelligence level, and then how do they eventually learn to speak as well. It's really cool.
Nice. Very nice. That's cool. So yeah, you weren't talking about just those three. You're like, those three are resurrecting like the original Planet of the Apes franchise from the 60s and 70s. I'm like, dang.
Well, that's
some next level.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. But what I just mean is like they were, I mean, I guess in a way it did. Yeah. It answered the question. How did this happen? Because you don't know the original trilogy. Like the original trilogy, you know, they land on this planet that is full of apes. And then at the very end of the film, they find out that this planet is Earth because it's got the Statue of Liberty on the beach, half of it. And so it's like, well, wait a minute, how did this happen? So yeah, it does, in a sense, answer those questions, but at the same time, blows all those movies out of the water.
There you go, folks. That's how you do a reboot, but also tie it into an original series. Now, the last one that I am going to get into, because it's really only like a throwaway, because we could discuss it for hours. But.
Maybe we will.
It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, everyone might think, oh, Marvel is like absolutely dominant. But when they started out, they had Iron Man, Jon Favreau, Robert Downey Jr. absolutely crushed it. And then you had films like The Incredible Hulk.
Boo. With Edward Norton. Boo.
Which was, I'm a fan of Ang Lee's one over that one. For some, like, people scream at me for that. But they had that, and then they had Iron Man 2, which I really enjoyed. But it was also and then Iron Man 3, everybody hates Iron Man 3, but I'm like, that's like something different for Tony Stark's character where he's like an alcoholic and why not? Anyway, so early on in the first like 3-4 years of Marvel's 10-year run, they were hanging on by a thread. I think what saved them ultimately was that they already had all of these films planned out and ready to go. They didn't do a DC and kind of go one film to the next.
Yeah. What would we like to do next?
Yeah. Oh, well, we're going to react because this film didn't do so well. They're like, no, stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing it. It all makes sense.
It's a thread. Yeah. Yeah. It'll all come together. Man, Iron Man 2, I really liked with Mickey Rourke. Maybe I'm just a sucker for some Mickey, but I liked
it. And it was the introduction of Black Widow as well. That's the first time you see Scarlett Johansson in the ring where she's fighting. Oh. She fights Happy in the ring and she like totally kicks his butt. Now, I was like, she needs a film. 10 years later, she has a film waiting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just waiting.
Damn you,
now,
COVID.
Tune in on Thursday, folks, because I've got some Black Widow talk as well.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo. But that's for another day. For another day. What I was like. I was like, oh, Marvel. Remember, folks, 10 years ago, probably most of you folks that are really into Marvel were like toddlers 10 years ago. So, I shouldn't say that. There are a lot of adults that are quite into Marvel, but.
I'm an Some adult.
You're an adult.
I'm an adult, dang it.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, me too. Marvel's stupid.
I'm friends with Stan Lee. He stole all my ideas.
Yeah, I still like the old silent films. I hate listening to you buttholes.
Anyway, do you have any more franchises that resurrected themselves? Or
those are the main two that I had. I mean, the Fast and the Furious one was a big one for me, like I said, because I felt the downward. I felt it flushing down the old toilet. And then the birth.
They injected some NOS into it.
Yeah. Nice. And then Rise of the Planet of the Apes, because I had just watched it recently. And those are the two that like stood out to me.
Awesome sauce. Well, there you have it, folks. Some franchises that you can sort of get into and sort of see what we see. Starting off strong and then kind of flailing a little bit and then coming back even stronger. If you've got any that you think can think of, let us know. Hit us up on social medias and drop us a line so that we can check those franchises out as well. Please avoid Star Wars. I don't want to talk about Star Wars franchise.
He's lying.
It's good all the time.
Yeah.
But you know who probably has quite a few that she could mention because she's the queen of knowledge when it comes to films.
I forgot the song for a second. I forgot the song for a minute.
He's getting old. His brain's starting to go.
Careful, your teeth might fall out if you do it.
I got a trivia question for you before we send it to you though, Rachel. You know, I love the detailed description and then how it's amazing, because in the last episode, we said, what was the production that was titled 9401 during filming? And it was Psycho. And she'd said in the previous episode how she had 1941 in her hair, and she's in her head. And she's thinking like Citizen Kane and all these different ones. So it's funny how your brain works that way. Sometimes you just like, for some reason, something will pop in, and then that is all you focus on. I don't know why I like that. I like the brain. The brain fascinates me. That's a show I watched that I never mentioned at the beginning. Oh my goodness. The Most Unknown. And they talk to like 9 scientists, and one's like studying like psychology and like what is consciousness. Anyways, I missed the opportunity to talk about this. So I'm just going to move on to the trivia question. Rachel, the question of the week. What color were the original slippers in The Wizard of Oz? I read that wrong. What color were the slippers in the original Wizard of Oz? I don't know why I put the emphasis on original. That's not how it's read. What color were the slippers in the original Wizard of Oz? I'm trying to get in your brain. See? I'm messing with your brain.
Do, 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 do. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Rachel's Reviews. I'm going to start with answering Justin's question. It was about the slippers of Wizard of Oz and what was the original color of them. The movie slippers are actually at the Smithsonian Institute in DC, which I've been to, have seen the slippers and everything. As we know in the movie, they are ruby red and sparkly and shiny and beautiful and iconic. But I believe the original color of them was silver, and they changed it to red to just make it pop more, which obviously it did. And it's one of the most iconic, you know, outfits in film history. You know, blue and white checkered dress, the red bow, the bow. I think it's red. I can't remember now. And then the red shoes, the iconic red shoes. So yeah, silver. The boys talked about franchises. I'm probably not the best with franchises because I tend to dip out afterwards on some of them. There's a lot that I just don't follow through for. But I do agree with the talks on Fast and the Furious. I cannot comment about Planet of the Apes because I am deathly terrified of monkeys. So I have not watched them. They're just really scary to me. And movie monkeys don't make it any better. So yeah. For this week, I'm just going to tap on stuff that I watched recently that I believe everybody should check out. So we watched Inside Man and Mo Better Blues, starring Denzel Washington, from directed by Spike Lee. Both really wonderful stuff. Denzel just never disappoints at all. Two Korean films that are on Prime. One you have to rent and the other one is free, but The Man from Nowhere is free. Well worth it. Deals with organ harvesting and crime, and it's very interesting. Think Leon the Professional with the elder and the child's relationship. And then we watched another movie called A Bittersweet Life, which has a very open-ended ending. It's wild stuff. Definitely give it a shot. Well worth it. On Netflix, we watched The White Tiger, which is directed by Raman Barani. He did 99 Homes that starred Michael Shannon and Andrew Garfield. Of course, I watched it because it's Michael Shannon. But it's nominated for Adapted Screenplay at the Oscars this year, and it is worth every nomination it gets. I mean, that's the only one it got, but definitely, again, watch this. It stars Priyanka Chopra as well. But it deals with the hierarchy and the class system of individuals out in India. And it's worth every minute. It's great. So definitely watch it. I watched some Mel Brooks stuff, a documentary, and then I watched The Producers, which is just one of his really hilarious ones. Mel Brooks is like one of my favorite comedy directors up there. So anything from his filmography is well worth it. So The Producers was what I rewatched. It's on HBO Max. Also on HBO Max, I finally dug into the 4 hours of Justice League. It's a little bloated for my liking, even though I do prefer DC over Marvel personally, but that's just me. I just prefer the characters more. But yeah, it's a little much. It's entertaining though. Best part of it was Jason Momoa walking down the dock. This gives away nothing. But he's walking down a dock with waves crashing around him. He rips his shirt off, and all while Nick Cave is playing in the background. If you know me, you know I love Nick Cave. So that scene definitely got me. I watched a blind spot that I haven't seen in ever, which was Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, directed by Sam Peckinpah. It's heavy. It's a heavy movie. It's not lighthearted at all, but it's well worth a watch again. Stars Warren Oates, whose character was apparently mimicking who Peckinpah was in real life. And if that's the case, I would never want to be in Peckinpah's way because, woof. But definitely give it a go. It's well worth it. Rewatch Best in Show, which is directed by Christopher Guest, about a dog show in Philadelphia. And everybody, all these couples going to the show with their dog. Absolutely hilarious. Watch it. If you have not, it's on HBO Max. Stars Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. And after Schitt's Creek, my love for them just kind of grew, even though I've seen Best in Show prior to Schitt's Creek. But it is so funny. So many great people in it too. So give it a watch if you have not. And lastly, my recommendation would be this movie called Detective D and the Mystery of the Phantom Flame. It's a three-part movie. This is the first one. And then there's two after, which are technically prequels, but they came after the first one. It's directed by Choi Hawk, and it's a like fantasy, sci-fi, mythical detective movie. And it's a really interesting twist on a crime movie, crime thriller that you would see mainly in the US is kind of strict to the point. This is more mythological and pretty great. Another hidden gem that we saw. So I'm hoping we see the other two. So that's it for this week. And I will return next week with maybe a topic I'll talk about or just more recommendations. Have a good weekend, guys. Bye.
All right, people, welcome back. How was Rachel? Great. Yeah, we know. That's why we have her on the show. Because she's awesome.
She had some wonderful viewings of this past week. And thanks again for sharing with us. I kind of gave up on keeping a list because it was getting longer and longer and longer every week. I couldn't quite keep up. So
I forgot my pen. I was having to do it all by memory.
When I get stressed, when I get tired, I forget things. I mentioned that in the last episode. Justin knows how tired I've been, so I forget. So I forgot the pen. But
as he holds it up.
As I hold up a pen. I forgot the pen. But thanks again, Rachel. It's always great to hear from you every week. And the folks listening, I'm sure you would agree with me. So now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Fantastic is changing into his smooth persona. And the bruv is into his silky persona. As we head into the final segment of the day, it's called the Whiskey Shot. Now, those of you that have been listening know exactly what's coming next. Those of you that are new, the Whiskey Shot is a play on an old film term called the Martini Shot, which was back in the old days, they used to say, hey, it's a Martini Shot, which means the next shot of the day is a martini shot. So it's the last shot of the day on a set. Everyone gets super excited because once that's done, they're done. And you can't call it out unless it's actually going to be the last shot. Because then it just ruins everybody's day. Like, oh, we got it. That's it. That's right. Oh, no, wait, one more take. Anyway.
Can't do that. Yeah, can't do that.
Can't do that. So the Whiskey Shot, folks, is where we discuss very, very quickly what we've got planned for the week to come. Whether it's going to be writing, TV shows, films, whatever we're going to be doing creatively. And the fun thing is that next week, we'll see if we actually did any of those things. Like Justin mentioned earlier in the episode, he didn't watch a single thing that he said in last week's Whiskey Shot. So I'm going to throw it to him to start us off, to start off the sign-off. Take it away, Super Smooth Fantastic.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. That totally threw me through a loop because normally you do it and now you had I'm doing it and I don't know which way is up and down. Yes, I mentioned it before. Hayden reminded me that I didn't do anything. I didn't watch anything. I was like, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this. I'm probably going to watch more of this. Oh, I really want to seek out this. I'm going to do that. And what happened the next day, I was like, yo, I'm going to watch this instead. I'm going to do this instead the next day. And on the final day, oh, look at that. I'm going to do this. So I'm not going to say anything this week. I'm not going to say anything except I want to give a final thought, if I may. And by a final thought, I mean a first thought, because I forgot to mention this at the start of the episode. This, people, is it. This is it. This is the end. Mad for March. Last opportunity. Get your name in the draw. I think it is. Am I wrong about this? I'm going to just roll with it as if it's the last opportunity. It's not. He's shaking his head. There's one more opportunity after this. This is the second last opportunity. But possibly, maybe it could be the last. Anyways, let us know where you're listening from. We have a gift we want to give away to one of y'all. Let us know where you're listening from. And you can get your name entered. You can email us from a certain point of view podcast@gmail.com or hit us on any one of our social medias, Facebook from a certain point of view, Instagram from a certain point of view podcast, Twitter from a certain PO1, and there's going to be a Reddit up pretty soon as well. So let us know on any of those places where you're listening. Get your name entered. Follow the hashtag MadForMarch. And I do want to say one more thing. Be awesome. Be you. I can't wait to speak to you next. Good night.
Right on. Yeah, folks, Mad for March. He was actually right. This will come out on the 29th. So that's right at the very end of March, which means we'll talk about it on the Trade Talks that week, which will be the first. But the last chance, unless we're feeling generous, to get your name into the draw to win some funky swag. So follow us on all those socials. Hit us up with where you're listening. We'd love to know how far and wide and how many oceans we cross. Like all those many, many oceans to Shao in Hong Kong. Like, let us know where you're at.
So many oceans.
So many oceans. So folks, for me this coming week, I am going to see if I can get to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Because comic books are my jam, and I am super excited about that. I also have gone through Netflix and Amazon Prime, and I've like watched a bunch of like French stuff, mostly like footballs, like soccer films, and some TV shows and whatnot. So I'm going to try and dig into that. I'm trying to sort of watch more of that so I can get the language stuck in my head a little better to help me learn, because I'm trying to learn a new language. And I'm going to try and figure out the dictation of Final Draft. I'm hoping that I didn't just dream it up and that it does actually exist, so that I can start dictating my script instead of trying to write it with my hands, because who knows, you know, trying to figure out new ways to break through that that writer's block. I'm a flood. So that's pretty much my week ahead. I'm going to finish up Apache probably tonight or tomorrow. So by the time you hear this, I'll have done it. I'll have finished it and I'll have moved on. So folks, that's it for me. I'm going to try and be a lot more creative. That's it, actually. I'm going to be downtown Vancouver in the past, but also in the future of recording of this show. I'm going to take the camera with me. I'm going to do some footage. I'm going to test. I'm going to take some stills. I'm going to take some video. So who knows? Maybe there'll be some, you know, something on the socials with that. Who knows? We'll see how I'm feeling. If I'm spicy enough for it, or if I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to walk around. Who knows? Not I. We'll see how the creative juices flow. So, folks, that's that from the bruv. That's that from
Mr. Fantastic.
Those old fellas are being quiet. They fell asleep. We kept them up too late.
They're so old. Look at him. He's so cute when he sleeps. He's so cute. I like the way, like, just, like, he has so much growth coming out of his ear. You know, when they get to that age, they just have so much hair coming out. It's like a little bird nest. And you're like, oh. Oh, no, he just needs a Q-tip.
And on that, folks. That is...
Thanks for hanging in this long. You guys are awesome. Peace, love, all that.
Bye.